So, happy day four. This is Wednesday, otherwise known as hump day in a working week. We don't have to think of it in that way here because we're not operating on clock time in the usual way. Yes, we have our schedule, but you know, we're guided by bells, meals, times for sitting and standing. Day four can be quite a transformative day on a retreat. You know, you'll know that from your own experience of other retreats. We've had some days to get used to where we are, you know, accommodation, the way things happen here. Yeah. And by now we're starting to settle into some kind of rhythm. Yeah. So some of the surface waves have resolved. We know more or less where to be, when, yeah. And some of that reverberation of all the effort to get here, yeah, will have subdued. If that's not your experience yet, well, give it a day or two, yeah. Yeah, but there have been some questions around what exactly do we mean by stabilizing, you know, stability in our meditation? What's meant by the energetic orientation of our practice? And then with those established, what do we do next? So some good questions that I'll address this morning. And then I'll offer some guidance into meditation. So moving around in everyday life, if we haven't been maintaining mindfulness, we notice it, don't we, that we can be quite easily destabilized, you know, knocked off our feet metaphorically by strong emotions, strong sensory impingements. Yeah, oh, we wobble here, wobble there, and we sort of wobble between states until we get a chance to breathe it all out, settle down, come into some kind of mindful stillness. Yeah. So that's the beginning of what we mean by stabilizing. It's getting our bearings. It's referred to in the suttas as setting mindfulness before one. Yeah. Kind of switching on the ignition of mindfulness. And you've been experiencing it over these days for sure, and over your practice elsewhere too. You know, kind of sitting down and there's blah, blah, blah in the mind and whoa in the body. And then little bit, you know, you start to notice, oh, that's a relief. Whew, not stirring up the sense doors, not stirring up sensory contact. There's still some reverb there, whew, but we get a bit of space and perspective. We tune into the physicality of the body. We might start to pick up on the flow of breath and be with that. And that starts to build stability. Yeah? A stability against the storm of sensory impingements. The pingings of sense consciousness that wear us out. And then we find as we're sitting, it's the same in walking meditation, standing, lying down meditation, wherever we're meditating, this stability starts to become more pronounced as we strengthen mindfulness. And then, yeah, thoughts will still come, sensations in the body might still shake us a little, but it's easier to return to base, easier to come back to the focus of body and breath. Sometimes it just takes a couple of minutes at the beginning of a session. Sometimes it takes the whole session. Maybe it takes a whole lifetime. But that's what's meant by stability, yeah, getting our bearings and a capacity to know what's what in a way, to bring sati sampajanya, Yeah, so sati, as we know, is mindfulness. And its close ally, sampajanya, clear comprehension. So we're not just mindful of a given object. There's also a more global awareness of what we're doing, what's going on. Yeah. So that's how we build stability in our practice, in this way, until it becomes quite natural to stay in the refuge, inward going, knowing. And we each of us find our own way with that. You know, you'll start to get a sense for what works for you in that, where to place attention, you know, to reach that sense of, it's a relative stability, yeah, until the mind's fully gathered. So if it's a helpful term, a helpful orienting term, yeah, you can take that on. If it's not, you'll find your own way of making sense of what it's like to practice diligently and receive the kind of effects of that in the very moment. Yeah. And then energy. What do we mean when we're talking about this energetic experience? Well, this is the case for me, and I'm sure I'm not unique in these ways. When I have my eyes open and I look at the body, I can see, you know, defined parts, objects, if you like. I can't see my own head, but I can see fingers and hands, and wherever I look, you know, I see body parts. But when I close my eyes, it's a very, very different experience. I could hold a mental image in my mind's eye of the physical parts, but that's not true to the immediate experience. Suddenly, in a way, hands, fingers, toes, all of it sort of disappears and merges into waves of energy. It's nothing, I'm not talking about anything mystical or any achievement. It's just our reality with eyes closed when we're feeling into the body. Because then we're more attuned, I guess, to the nervous system. And that has pathways that don't map exactly to the body parts. So just keeping it simple with eyes closed, what's the feeling right now of the whole of the body? Maybe a sense of space, warmth, coolness, contact of fingers with knees maybe, or hands with knees. But we don't have to name it to feel it, right? In a way, it's almost an amorphous kind of blob that has waves of energy passing through. And then within that, you know, there's the breathing that's going on with or without our attention. Breathing's happening. And we know the literal pathway of breath through the nasal passages into the lungs and out, but we also know there's a quality of breath through the skin. It's subtle. Might be apprehended as a kind of very delicate tingling. And our experience is defined by where we place attention and how we place attention. So as we attend to the subtle flow of breath, tingling into the body and out, we start to apprehend a kind of more an energetic experience of our being than a kind of meat and bones experience. Yeah, it's softer, subtler. There's a permeating quality of breath. One way I've found to work with this is, or to attune to this, is simply noticing on an in-breath, just a fraction of a second after the in-breath is finished, there's like a little after-effect wave of energy. See if you can notice that. And there's an in-breath, and then there's just a very gentle billowing of energy, prana, it's kind of life force. And You know, our experiences differ. But what we've been alluding to here, speaking about the energetic, is that coming out of the ideas of the body, the conceptual sense of body, into the actual direct experience, and within that breath, the actual direct experience. And this we find is less solid than we thought. So with this attention to stabilizing presence, you know, to maintaining an upright attention to body, to breath, we find a stability, you know, and we're more attuned to the energetic of our experience. And this makes it easy to do the work of inquiry. Yeah. For one thing, it feels better. We tend to have a sense of well-being when we come more fully into our direct experience. Actually, even if we don't like it very much, it still tends to feel right in a way, yeah, because we're not fragmented and disconnected. And so from that, we'll call it a secure base. It's not entirely secure, but secure enough for the meditation. Yeah, from that base, we can start to pick up an inquiry into Vedana feelings. Yeah. It's such a crucial part of our experience, isn't it? Because as we know from the links in the cycle of dependent origination, feeling precedes clinging. And so it's at the point of feeling that we can intervene into our own experience, yeah, and our own karmic patterns. Yeah. So feelings, not emotions, yeah, which are mental formations, more complex than feelings. Every one of us right now will be experiencing feelings, bodily feelings. And they're either pleasant or they're unpleasant. They oscillate. Or there may be mental feelings that are pleasant or that are unpleasant, or perhaps they're a bit ambivalent. They're neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Just seeing what's there, so feeling. It's pretty much what drives us in our lives, drives our responses. So if you go into physical feelings right now, there may be a pleasant feeling of warmth somewhere, unpleasant feeling of discomfort, some sharp pain, some dull pain. The feeling is it's the kind of flavor. We either want what's there, what we've been contacting with, or we don't want it. And if we're not mindful at that moment, the whole cycle of clinging, birth, old age, death occurs, the kind of arising of self cycling through our moments. So this is a really profound opportunity to stay from that base of stability, relative stability, start inquiring into what's here in the way of feeling and understanding that feeling is a function. It's not who we are. Just as thoughts think, yeah, the mind thinks, feelings feel. The result of contact. So through our sense bases, our internal sense bases, seeing, hearing, and so on, we have contact with the corresponding sense objects, seeing a sight, hearing a sound, and so on. And the sense consciousness that arises with that constitutes contact. And contact always results in feeling. So if you ponder for a moment on the trillions of moments of contact that we have daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, through a lifetime, inevitably there's quite a lot going on, a lot of feelings. And when we're embodied and aware, because that's where feelings are registered, body, mind, then we're resourced to respond with intention rather than reaction. We don't have to deal with all the trillions of moments of contact that have occurred in the past. We simply work in the moment and get a hang of it. I know many of you will have been practicing in this way for some time. So the work is rather than contact, feeling, perception, mental formations, consciousness all occurring in a blur, we slow down enough to actually be with our experience. It doesn't take that long, really, to see, oh, feelings arisen. Experiencing it is a bit unpleasant. Let's stay here for a while. Be with this feeling. What's the energy of it? Let's say some negative memories arisen. I'm feeling a bit irritated. It's not just in the mind. There's a resonance in the body somewhere. Maybe a little acidic bubbling feeling around the central part of the torso. Don't like that. If I'm not staying in the body and registering this, I might just get caught in the feelings. Oh, I don't like that. And then start resenting and getting irritable. And it simply drives more of the same, more of that acidic bubbling. Get caught in a cycle of unpleasants heaped upon unpleasants. Or I just recognize it. Oh, unpleasant feeling. It's just feeling in relation to contact. It's actually not who I am. Don't have to get involved in this. Just be with it. Stay curious with it. It starts to resolve. And we may come back to a moment of stillness. And then there it is again. And so it's a practice. We work with it again and again. Speaking with one of you in a practice meeting yesterday, hearing you describe the practice, how important it is to work with diligence and speed. Yeah, you were saying in relation to what comes in through the senses. Just being diligent about it, staying with it. And before it gets caught, before it gets significant momentum, doing this inquiry, seeing it, experiencing the flavor of it. Then we start to know, don't we? Oh, this is what resentment's like. Oh, this is what irritation's like. Or indeed, this is what pleasure, this is what joy is like. And we start to get the flavor, not just the idea of it. And that actually helps us come out of judgments. Mm-hmm. Got an irritable feeling, I'm starting to judge someone, and then I judge myself, and now we've got judgment squared. And it just gets harder and harder. Yeah. So what does judgment feel like? What's that flavor, the energetic quality of that through the body, through the mind? Oh, kind of a hard edge, sort of contracted. It brings me up into my head. Okay, that's the flavor of judgment. And then allowing it to soften. Goes its own way because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the phenomena of nature, It's not me or mine. Phew. Ah, come back to base. So we practice again and again. And if we do find that we get lost in the head, yeah, then we've got our base to come back to. So you may already be practicing this, but I'll just offer a minute or two to support an embedding of this. If you need to sway your torso a bit or move a little bit initially, do so. Yeah. It's a kindness to give the body a little bit of movement, you know, when needed, and then allowing it to come to stillness to support the deepening inquiry. If you're very familiar with embodiment, you'll already be there, but if it's a little bit new still, coming to the weight of the body can be the most helpful for grounding. There's a lovely natural weight to the body. And the action of gravity, we get this pressure between the body and what we're sitting on. Yeah. We know that we're here in the present. The earth in our body, connecting to the earth beneath, that's holding us up. And finding the shape that's right for your body at this moment. Just enough to have the spine comfortably upright. Too much strain and we start to often have negative thoughts. Too much slack and we start to drift off. That's where I find right effort really helpful. It's just enough effort to maintain uprightness of the spine. It seems to stack up quite naturally, even with the strange kink I have at my lower spine, it still stacks up quite naturally. The muscles around the spine then start to relax because we come into alignment. Just noticing the feeling tone of being in alignment, the pleasant sensation around being aligned. A good enough alignment. And not being afraid of the inconstant flux of the body, not being thrown by that. That is embodied awareness right there. A global sense of body. By global, we don't mean like a pencil outline of the body. It's a direct experience. Points of pressure, points of places of cool and warmth. Upper lip in contact with lower lip. Upper eyelid in contact with lower eyelid if the eyes are closed. Perhaps you notice the delicate coolness of breath going in through the nostrils. The softening warmth of breath on the exhalation. All part of body. The thumping of the heart, an itch here, a twitch there. That's the ecosystem of the body. And this is the place where we practice. Staying with this focus for as long as it takes you to establish a sense of relative stability. So that you can feel the power of mindfulness. So that when trains of thought come whooshing by, they're seen as they are, thoughts. Just thoughts, and we come back to base again and again, building the muscles of mindfulness. And there's clear comprehension of what we're doing and why. We don't have to think it out in sentences. We're here cultivating. Motivated by a yearning to be free of suffering, free of discontent. Optimize our human birth. And to that end, we're in the moment, present to direct experience. And here's a feeling, pleasant, unpleasant, or neither. Seeing it just as it is, getting a flavor of it. Because contact lands in the body, creates little whirlwinds and whirlpools of sensations and thoughts, affects our moods. So mindfulness checks it at the door. Yeah. What kind of feeling is this? What effect does it have in the body? Not running from unpleasant feelings, but getting to know them and see them just as they are. They come and go. They're not stable. They're not mine. I can't control them. It's a cause of suffering. If we push it away or try to hold it tight. So the juice for this practice is this settled body awareness and the delicious, pervading quality of breath through the body. And the feelings that awareness of breath can bring are considered to be wholesome, pleasant feelings, worthy of attention. We can attend to any feelings that arise in the body or mind, but we may start to direct attention to the pleasant feelings that come in with breath, because it has a cooling effect on the mind, clarifying effect on the mind, and a gently tranquilizing effect on the body. And with that pleasant abiding, that sense of well-being, the mind starts to gather.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.